For the past several weeks, the elders have been requesting topics, and from a speaker's point, it's good to get those because sometimes it's not so easy always to come up with things to speak about. And so this morning, I would like to take a few of the topics that were submitted to the elders and combine them into one because they really seem like they fit well together. And so one of the first topics that I saw was that someone wanted to hear a lesson from the book of James. And the other was how to be a Christian without being religious and without being a hypocrite. And so as I went back and forth trying to decide which topic to choose, it really became clear that looking at the book of James would actually cover both of those. And so what we find was that James was written to the Jewish Christians who really would have been familiar with what a hypocritical person would look like under the leadership of the scribes and Pharisees. And they also would be familiar with the fact that they would be familiar with a worship that was really more ritualistic than a worship that came from the heart. And so I'd like to start by taking the time to refine or define some of the topics. I think we're all pretty familiar with what a hypocrite is. Hypocrite is the Greek word for actor. And I could come up here and portray a chef or an artist. But if you've seen me draw in the real life, it'd become real clear to you that I'm really not an artist nor a chef, nor do I play one on TV. So a hypocritical Christian is one who plays the part, just like an actor would. The hypocritical Christian may go to church at every opportunity and may say all the right things when they're around the other Christians. However, their actions away from church are totally different in the same way that an actor portrays a character, but away from the theater, they're totally different. And so the scribes and the Pharisees were a perfect example of this. And we know throughout Jesus' ministry, he calls them on this at several times during the scriptures. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Jesus pronounces woe on the Pharisees and their sinful ways. And really, verse 28 of the 23rd chapter sums up their hypocrisy pretty succinctly. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And so the other part of the topic was how to be a Christian without being religious. And I would submit to you that being religious has pretty much become the same as being hypocritical. And not necessarily, you know, we look at religion, the word religion, in a different way, really has a different connotation. And many people have taken a public stance to draw attention to their religion. And when they do something wrong or they sin publicly, that has caused religion to get a bad name. And we know that religion in itself is not bad. It's just been the way it's been portrayed by the world. And it's bad when someone, in a very public way, says one thing and then does another. And I think maybe the perfect example of that would be a professional athlete who, when they're on camera after doing something for their record books, will tell them how important, first of all, usually how their mom was, and then secondly, was how important the religion played in their lives achieving this goal. But if you were to look at their lives outside, away from the game, you would find all sorts of things that would lead you to believe that A, we have a false religion, or B, they're really not doing what they say they're doing. And so what we want to look at in some of the scriptures in James, what is pure religion? We're going to look at some scriptures that show us pure religion, because we should always be religious, just not in a manner that draws attention to us or dishonor to God. Because we're called to be different. And so to be religious, you have to be different. We're a peculiar people. From our memory verse, a royal priesthood, his own special people. And so we want to look at some ways to be a Christian that is not hypocritical, or how we can practice pure religion. So from James, the first chapter, there are several topics in this chapter that I'd like to cover. Turn out, if you'd like to follow along, it'll be in James chapter 1, verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I can think of one example clearly, very recently, that would illustrate this point. If you have followed the recent presidential elections, which it's been hard not to this year, was One of the strategies of the Bush campaign was to paint Kerry as someone who flip-flopped on the issues, or that Kerry would change his opinion to do whatever he needed to get elected. You know, he was for the war, then he was against the war. He claimed he was religious, but he wouldn't take a stand on homosexual marriage or partial birth abortion or stem cells. And so I think to a many degree that affected the outcome of the elections because Americans thought that this person could not be trusted. And so what we know is, you know, even if you disagree with a person, you can respect that person if they're willing to stick to their beliefs and stick to their guns. You're not going to agree with them, but at least you know where they're coming from and you know how they're going to react. But the person who changes with the wind or the person who runs hot and cold, you can't trust them because you don't know what they're going to do and you don't know if they're always telling you the straight truth. So the first point to live in a non-hypocritical life is don't be double-minded. Your actions have to match your life. Our second point is in verse 19 through 20 of the first chapter. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let's face it, whenever we get angry, we say some pretty stupid things. And most of the stupid things that we say are brought on because we're not really listening half as much as we're talking. And so what this scripture is telling us, that a true Christian is one who is not hypocritical, doesn't talk as much, and listens twice as much, and doesn't get angry easily. And I think, unfortunately, as an own personal example of my own shortcomings with this, and actually it just happened this weekend on Friday, many times I've got upset with Seth. And he's trying his hardest to get his point out or explain his point or his side. But in my mind, I know where he's going with it. I know where the path is leading. And so I get angry and I cut him off. And, you know, every time I do that, you can see the hurt in the eyes. And you know, I have to stop myself and say, you know, I'm sorry. You know, please go ahead and say what you're going to say. Even if I know, yeah, I'm right, the outcome is going to be that way. Even if I know that, and I'm not always right, first of all. But even if I know the outcome is and it happens that way, I still need to listen. Because I think people at the simplest level, just and at the earliest age, just want to be heard. They want to make sure that we're listening and that they hear everything. And so if we could just listen better and not be so eager to make sure that we had the last word or that we were right, we'd certainly turn away some anger and some wrath. And I'd ask all of you, how many times have you won an argument with a spouse or a friend only to discover by winning you've lost? I'm sure that's something that we can all relate to. James 1:26 tells us, if any man seems to be religious and cannot control his tongue, he deceives his own heart and his religion is in vain. It's right there. If you think you are religious, but you don't know when to be quiet, you've deceived yourself and you've lied to yourself to the core. Third point, James the first chapter, verses 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the world, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Shall be blessed indeed. The hypocrite says, do as I say, not as I do. And we kind of touched upon that in our class this morning as well. But what good does it do someone to hear something and not do it, especially if it's something they need to do? If you ever give anyone any specific instructions only to have them to do something differently? I've done quite a bit of coaching with the kids being in sports and athletics and things like that, and teachers can probably relate to this as well. You can tell a person, okay, you know, to arrive at the desired result or the answer, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. You see the little heads bobbing, yeah, 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 I hear you, yeah, I hear you. And then they go do the totally opposite thing, and it doesn't work. Well, why didn't it work? Well, you were hearing, but you weren't listening. And there's a difference to that. And so, you know, I don't know if it's because of, you know, fear. You know, fear plays a part into it, or arrogance, or the fact that they just looked in that mirror that we were talking about in the scriptures, and then went away and just forgot. And so this is classic. This is another classic example. How many times have you heard a person talk about religion and what they believe, and then, you know, they go do something totally contrary to what they say? And I'm sure everyone in this room at some point has done something like that. But I'm talking about the person who on a day-to-day basis says they believe one thing and then does something else. One of the best ways to turn a non-Christian off to Christ is not to do what you say you believe. Not only do you deceive yourself, you turn others away from the cause of Christ. And if you don't recognize what you're doing, you can do irreparable harm not only to yourself, but to other people. And so, you know, thank goodness for the blood of Christ, who's able to cover a multitude of sins. We have to make sure that our talk matches our walk. Fourth point from James, the first chapter, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Simple statement, pure religion takes care of those that are less fortunate. And pure religion keeps one clean from all of the things of the world that can distract us from the ultimate goal. And we read this particular scripture in class this morning, and I don't know what version it was from, but it was words to the effect of, you know, if someone's hungry, you know, if someone's cold and you don't feed them, you say, well, I'm sorry you're hungry and I'm sorry you're cold, and you don't feed them, you know, what good has it done them? I mean, it hasn't done them a bit of good. James chapter 2 keeps the heat on us, though. And we continue to find ways to have religion that is pure and keeps us from being hypocritical as the scribes or the Pharisees. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. What do we know about God? What do we know about God and man? How does God feel about man? What's his view? Well, we know that God is not a respecter of persons. Or another way to look at it would be in how Jesus puts it in Matthew chapter, the ninth chapter. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do we look at people who are quote-unquote sick differently than we look at people who are whole? And let me give you some phrases or some things that should give you pause if you ever catch yourself saying them. I know that these things are sometimes difficult. If you ever catch yourself saying, I know I shouldn't say this about them, that should give you pause that probably what's coming next isn't a good thing to say. Or, you know, pejorative things like white trash or trailer trash, or saying just because someone is a different color or a different race or ethnicity that they all act a certain way, are all things that potentially you've just made yourself a respecter of persons. You would have become, as in verse 4, partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts. Verses 7 through 9. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Hypocrites show favoritism to other people. Verse 12. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Be merciful to all people. God is going to show us mercy because of his new law, the law of liberty. Remember the story in Matthew, the 18th chapter? I'm going to go ahead and read that. It's a good story that illustrates this point. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch he had not to pay his lord, and he commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And I think this is what James chapter 2, verse 12 is talking about. We are to speak like those who are going to be judged by the law of liberty. We cannot go around and treat others in a manner that is not in the same manner that God is going to treat us. Just like the parable, the king was merciful. And so, the wicked servant, when presented the same opportunity that he was under, should have been merciful as well. And so I think when we are not merciful, we make the mercy, in what we just read, we make the mercy of God in our lives of no effect when we're not merciful. So chapter 2 is all about showing no favorites and treating all people in the same manner that we want to be treated. The chapter is also about making sure that our actions live up to our faith. Verses 19 through the end of the chapter talks about belief, and that belief leads to faith, and that faith leads to work. Pure religion has both faith and works. Verse 26, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And really, everyday works can happen with your faith in so many easy ways throughout the day. You know, simple things. It doesn't have to be major everyday things, but it's just simple things. It's doing things like opening doors for others, giving up your seat or place in line to someone who maybe has five, you know, three or four kids with them, and making it easy for them. Opportunities abound all around, and Christian life does not happen in a vacuum. So many things occur outside of these four walls that we can provide works for to show our faith. Now on to James chapter 3. A good amount of time has been spent talking about the tongue, and I don't want to spend as much time on the tongue other than to say that a hypocrite cannot keep control of his tongue. Further on down in James, there are some adjectives that describe pure religion, and then there are some adjectives that describe worldly religion. First, the world religion. James 3, 14 through 16. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And the last time I spoke on Sunday, I spent quite a bit of time about running the other way from bitter people. And there's certainly no room in God's people to be bitter, because what is there to be bitter about if you're a Christian? Nothing. There's nothing to be bitter about as a Christian, because we know that the sufferings on earth are nothing to be compared with the rewards in heaven. Bitterness comes from the devil, and bitterness causes envy, strife, covetousness, and anger, and all those sorts of things are sin, and they lead to sin. So what's the opposite of that? Well, a pure religion, or that opposite of worldly religion, is peace-loving. You know, do we search out arguments? No, we shouldn't. It's considerate. Do we think about others' needs before ours? It's submissive. It's full of mercy. It's impartial, and it's sincere. Want to be a Christian that is not hypocritical or religious in a negative way? Add these principles to your walk. James 3:18, The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Add these traits in your life, and you will be a tree that bears good fruit. The scriptures say a tree cannot bear two different types of fruit, and we also see that in the world as well. Chapter 4. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on chapter 4 as well, but one of the more important concepts in this chapter is don't slander a brother. James 4:11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that thou judgest another? If you put yourself in the situation of a non-believer, and you hear a believer tearing another believer down, what would you think? Well, I would probably say, if that's what they say about one of their own, what do they say about me when I'm not around? Are they judging me too? Are they taking the opportunity to talk about me as well? So it's not good. It's not a good thing to ever put yourself in the situation as being a judge over anyone. There is only one who can save or destroy, and you're better off taking care of your own condition. And so as we learned earlier, the same manner in which we judge, we'll also be judged. That's why I think a continuing theme that we've read thus far has James telling us to be full of mercy. So when you stand before God, it really becomes a question of, do you want the full mercy of God? Or do you want to be judged like humans judge one another? And, you know, for me, it would be bring on the mercy of God because, you know, humans can be pretty rough on one another. But what we find is most of the time, people often lie in wait for that one moment when they can say, aha, I got you. And so we need to keep in mind and remember mercy. James chapter 5. Be patient without holding a grudge. James 5 through 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receives the early and latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Christians must not let the trials of earth get you down. True religion does not let those trials affect their faith. You want to be a Christian without being hypocritical? Cool. Then when things come along, it doesn't make them easier. It doesn't necessarily make them easier to deal with, but deal with them with patience, just like Job did. And what happened when Job was done with his trials? He was blessed. When his trials were over, he was rewarded tenfold, and God restored him to his glory. And that's what this life is all about. During our time here on earth, until God in his tender mercy calls us home, we are in these trials, and we have these trials that come and go, and those are the trials which are temporary. God is going to come back with his tender mercy. In the meantime, we have to endeavor to be Christ-like and live a life like James was calling those Jewish Christians to live. Along the way, we're not going to be perfect, and along the way, we're going to do some things that are hypocritical. But we have to strive and endeavor on. And there's really a lot more things that we could look at in the book of James. And this is really something, when you look at your own life, becomes something that's tough and introspective. And I hope that by looking at James, we can see the many things that Christ has called us to be and help us in our walk. Well, the good news, though, is that we don't have to be perfect because Jesus paid the price once and for all. And that's what we were talking about earlier with the mercy. We as Christians strive here on the earth to be Christ-like. People outside of Christ strive in vain because there's only the end game of that is death. But God has provided everyone a better way, and that's Jesus. And so this morning we're going to give you the opportunity, if you've not accepted Jesus, to come forward to one of these front pews when we stand and sing and believe, confess, and then repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins. That's your desire. We're going to offer you the opportunity to come to the front pew as we stand and sing the song that's been announced.